Hello and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. This is Brain Fart with Tariq. And I've been doing kind of more informational episodes in the past couple weeks. So I thought I would take a little bit of a break and just kind of talk to the mic with no information, no planning. And just kind of go through a topic that I think is really close to what I've been feeling recently as a 24, almost 25 year old young Canadian person. And I think one thing I've realized in the past couple years is a lot of my experience is something that's more universal. And, I thought I'd talk a little bit about it. But, just to start off, this is the Brain Fart Podcast. It's just a podcast where I talk about whatever I want to talk about. There's no cuts, no nothing. This is just me unfiltered, talking for however long I want to talk. And, this is just my outlet. This is an opportunity for me to kind of just say the things that I'm thinking about. And so today's topic and what I really want to kind of jump into is the idea of hopelessness, and hopelessness as a 24 25 year old young man living in Canada, and kind of the experience I have as someone who's young and has kind of seen my parents grow up and come up in a world, and am now going through my own version of that comeuppance, and kind of starting to draw comparison, contrasting points of views. And so to start off, I think one thing that I consistently see from most people is this idea of I'm kind of too old to be like a Gen Z in the truest definition of what a Gen Z person is. Because I did grow up partially without the internet, or with, like, I don't know, maybe that's more to do with the restrictions I had growing up, which I agree with actually now that I'm the age that I am. I'm not a big fan of iPad babies and being so connected. I grew up in an era where you played outside, you played in the backyard, you played in the neighborhood, and I think my siblings who are younger didn't do that. They grew up more online, they grew up less playing in the park, and they grew up with more social media based friendships. I think we had friendships too. We had MSN, we had Skype, and we had Skype was particularly popular when I was young in like the gaming space, especially because that's where I really, really first felt like I fit in. But there was a big sense of like you still grew up reading books and being connected to technology for limited amounts of time, whereas now I feel like technology is something that people are connected to from a very young age and on a continuous basis, and there is actually a large amount of focus of trying to remove kids from that technology and giving them more of a break from it. All this to say, I'm kind of in the in-between. I'm not old enough to be considered really like a millennial. I was born in 99, so, you know. But I'm not young enough to really relate heavily to social media and its pressures. I think not the pressures. I understand the pressures of social media and wanting to fit in and stuff. Definitely felt that. But I didn't face it as this extreme way that kind of nowadays I feel like is a focus from the moment you're able to consume technology. Like, very young age, people are consuming technology readily and very, very, like, crucially right away. Like, iPad babies is a term that didn't exist when I was young. But yeah, I think one thing, as people are kind of reaching my, in this, you know, shared experience of my generation, are reaching this age now where a lot of us have finished university, have finished our education, and are now trying to pave our paths in our careers. A lot of us are starting to feel this impending sense of doom and despair and general discomfort with the world. And I'm not saying this is universal, but I do think that this is something that's very particularly unique to people our age and people who are, you know, going through life right now. And the reason I say that is because I think that there was this concept that you go to university, you get a job, you get a mortgage, and like you're able to kind of like make do, you work your way up. There was no one expecting, I think, growing up, that we weren't expected to be handed anything, right? We were expecting to have to work hard. But I think that there is this general sense, people our age, who are feeling that even working hard isn't enough anymore. There is like this luck-based element to our generation's survival. And I want to dig into that. I want to dig into the sense of hopelessness and despair that people feeling disenchanted with their careers, their jobs, feeling disconnected from life, feeling like they'll never own homes, feeling like they'll never retire. And I want to start with the retirement piece, actually, because it's a big thing that when we were growing up, we saw our parents, we saw our grandparents, we saw older generations in various stages. We saw some of them preparing for retirement. We saw some of them in retirement. We saw some of them, you know, there's still people then who didn't have that firm retirement plan. But on the whole, I think retirement was more of this idea that you work for a while and you get to the point where you can retire, and that is achievable and attainable, you know, as a path of life. And I'm not saying that people my age are not on track to hit retirements and not on track to, you know, make their way, but I do think in the past it was more secure and now it is not. I think that what we face, and with full transparency, this may be the naivety of being young. I think that when I bring up this idea of retirement and this idea of feeling hopeless about the future and feeling like I'm going to work until I literally keel over and die, I bring that up to parents or older generation folks, and they said that they felt the exact same way then when we were their age. But I think increasingly we are seeing the disparity between wages and the cost of living, especially in Canada, where housing and basic needs are becoming more and more unattainable, you know. It scares us. And I don't think that fear is invalid. I think it's a very valid thing to be scared about the security of your future. And I'm going to take a brief detour here to talk on something that we've kind of grown up hearing about and learning about. And there was a big focus when we were in elementary school on recycling and climate change and how we have to combat it and all this stuff. I'm going to take the climate change detour. We're getting off on this exit for a second. I'm going to stop at this gas station. We're going to refuel with them fossil fuels and talk about this climate change. The climate change argument, the climate change was not an argument. There was no doubt in school and educational thought that climate change was going to happen. But when we were growing up, there was a sense of action can lead to avoidance. We can still combat this. There was the whole thing about, you know, 1 or 2 degrees and where we're at and stuff. And I think recently we've gotten into, you know, there hasn't been much climate change. We are stuck in the way that things are. As a result of our economic system, whether for better or for worse. The general thinking around climate change now is we have 30 years of irreparable damage, which is already going to happen. The climate's going to get worse for 30 years. And that's assuming that we cut all of our carbon pollution to zero in a day, which is not going to happen. So what we're talking about is really decades and decades of damage that is occurring. And there is no hope. There is no funky little recycling project, no funky climate change knowledge seminar, little projects that we're doing at school that's going to change that. And I bring up this example because I think it's something that we have seen become hopeless within our lifetime. When I speak to young people nowadays, no one is concerned about climate change the way that we were. We were recycling, you know, we had the green bin, compost, we were all about these programs, but I don't think there's that same energy from younger people than I am. Because I think they feel this hopelessness. And I think that hopelessness is different. It's different. It may be that we were facing challenges, but the people that are younger than us are further down the pipeline on those challenges. They're facing consequences of our inaction. And we, for better or for worse, mainly for worse, are facing the consequence of the decisions of our parents and the decisions of generations before us. And I think that that hopelessness is not naive. I think it's absolutely justified. And I get a little like shaky thinking about this stuff, is the anger that pulls and how I feel like at times we are just not taken seriously. And it brings me back to like some youthful parts of my personality and my experience where I felt unheard as a child and patronized and made to not be worthy of being treated as someone who's intelligent and who might have an idea. And who has questions that are valid. I never felt as a kid particularly valued by adults, by elder generations. And I think that that same anger and resentment flows within me when I talk about this concept of hopelessness amongst our generation. I think a big thing to kind of rein this back in, and how I've seen climate change, you know, relink that back to, you know, we're back on the highway here. The whole point I'm trying to make there is that there is a general sense of hopelessness. I have seen people slightly older than me, a couple years, buy houses. I have seen people slightly older than me still able to plan for retirement and still feel supported in the systems that, you know, they were able to scrape by. I don't feel that. I don't feel supported by society. And I don't feel supported by older generations. I feel like I'm a little bit on my own island. And I think that this experience, this isolation, is a shared experience. We share it, this generation of ours. And I'm sure that the generation after us will feel increasing levels of that hopelessness. The system and the way the world works feels so out of control. We grow up thinking that we have a say, that we exist and we are human and valuable. And then the system we exist in doesn't really make you feel valuable. Young people don't vote because they don't feel like their vote is consequential, that it will make any change happen. And why should they? Why should they, when we have created a system in which corporations are more valued than people? And we've created a system in which people who are wealthy, on the merit of being wealthy, are treated better than others. We have separated people, and I think that that hopelessness will continue. It will continue to get worse over time as more and more of our needs are left unfulfilled, and people can only go so far. It's depressing to think about not feeling like you're ever gonna retire. To do the math, right? I'm a mathematical person, logical person. And I felt incredibly, incredibly sad running any sort of numbers. To feel like no matter what you save, it'll never be enough. To feel invalid in the work that you're doing on the basis that it isn't considered valuable to society. When people need you to do that work. I don't want to dive too far down that specific rabbit hole. But I do think it is important to talk about this hopelessness and validate for other people that experience. Because I felt very, very isolated. Felt like I was an insane person, and that the elder generation above us was saying that, no, it'll all work out, and you'll have a house, and you'll retire, and you'll have kids, and you'll have a great life. And I don't think that's something that we should be saying, that, you know, your way of looking at the world is wrong. We have eyes. We have the ability to crunch our numbers. We see how things are getting. We see those graphs all the time about wages and housing costs. It is important that we communicate these experiences, because I think as I've gotten older, one thing that has changed is that I do get taken more seriously than I was when I was younger. Did have to grow a full beard for that. Did have to increase my vocabulary, do a couple things in life to be taken seriously, make some hard choices. But I think I had value all along. Anyway, all of this to say, there is a general feeling of hopelessness amongst people who are my age. And they're not. This is not to say that there aren't people who are my age who feel financially secure and financially good and have houses and retirement plans. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that more so than the previous generation, our generation is facing this hopelessness crisis. And that it is a problem that is getting worse. And our system is currently, our society and our liberal democracies are spiraling to making this worse and worse for people. But yes, I just wanted to share my thoughts on this. As a 24-year-old existential thinker, I feel hopeless. And I feel like it shouldn't be this way. And I feel like my siblings, my parents, my older generation friends, my colleagues even at work did not have to go through those same barriers that I'm facing. And unlike when I was younger, I refuse to not be heard. And again, this podcast is not something that I expect to be heard, but it is something that I do to make sure that these words do not echo around in my head. This is not going to be something where I tell you how to feel less hopeless. I'm not going to sit here and try to explain, you know, whatever. This is how I feel, and it's okay to sit in that feeling, and it's okay to exist there, and that's okay. You need to be valid in that experience of just sitting with those feelings. And I'm learning to be valid in those, in that experience. Anyway, so thank you so much for listening, if you have listened. And I hope you take care. Feel free to share your thoughts. Bye-bye.